Welcome to Radio Evolve, our web radio for consciousness and culture. And today we have a very special moment, a special conversation, which we want to do in honor of Thomas Steininger, who is also the founder of this podcast and of Evolve magazine, and together with Elizabeth Diebold of the Emergent Dialogue work. And Thomas passed away last week on October 9th. And we thought to meet here together in honor of Thomas and to share his spirit, his presence that touched all of our lives and will continue to do so. And yeah, I'm Mike Kauschke. I'm also managing editor of Evolve and worked with Thomas for many years in the Emergent Dialogue work. And I'm happy that you are here, Steve Brett, Mary Adams, and Francois Dimanche. Also fellow travelers on the path with Thomas in different ways, in different contexts. We will find out about that. Mary and Steve are directors of the Emergence Foundation in the UK and co-founders of Third Space, an inquiry forum into spirituality and activism. And Francois, you work with indigenous medicine since many, many years. And we all met Thomas along our path, and it had a I think decisive and long-term effect, so to say. And maybe to start with, I want to ask you, bring in the question, maybe to share an experience you had with Thomas that somehow highlights what his spirit, his being touched in you. And whoever wants to start and has something that is coming up.
Well, thank you, Mike. And it's really, it's just really good to be here with Francois and Steve and yourself to have this opportunity actually to honor Thomas, because I think for all of us, he was a very dear friend, apart from being a spiritual brother, definitely. I find it hard to pick one particular memory. This is a lot. I met Thomas in the 90s, and at the time we were both students of Andrew Cohen and part of that spiritual community. And I mean, I think with Thomas, what I really only know him as a spiritual brother, because one thing about Thomas, he was never not that, if you know what I mean. Thomas was like, his spiritual heart was always at the front. And whether he was in a dialogic, you know, engagement, conversation, or you were having an espresso in Tuscany together, or out for a walk in the forest, he was always on in a very natural and profound way. And I love that about Thomas. It was just who he was. He had a love of inquiry that just bubbled up constantly. And I really loved and appreciated his capacity for interrogating ideas, right? He would be a vehicle for opening things up in a deeper way, in a very natural way. And I love that about Thomas. And it's from how I remember him for over about three, almost three decades. So I just wanted to start with that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike, for making it possible to have this session to honor Thomas. Really appreciate being here with all of you and Francois. So I also met Thomas in the community around Andrew Cohen. but I would say that I really got to know him over the last 10 years, particularly. Again, it's hard to pick out one particular moment from these years, because there are actually so many times that I will never forget of spending time with Thomas, and participating in, as Mary was talking about, his unusual, he had this kind of very unusual, in my experience, sort of passion for inquiry. And he was somebody that was just always deeply interested in exploring ideas and at a very deep level. So that encouraged me very much to explore things with him. And I remember there was one particular walk that I do stands out for me since you asked for a particular occasion. This was in London, and in fact, Mary and I and Thomas and Elizabeth were walking together, but I was at this particular moment for some period of time during this walk. I was asking Thomas about the philosopher Martin Heidegger, and because I knew that he'd studied him very deeply, and we had it was really a quite a sort of revolutionary and eye-opening a conversation in which Thomas really introduced me to Heidegger's thinking in a very, I mean, in a way that I couldn't have predicted beforehand, because it was so comprehensive. And more than comprehensive, I think it was his own, as I learned over time, his own understanding of Heidegger was from what I see now, quite rare in a way, because he brought so much of his own depth to it. And after that time, we continued to have a lot of back and forth about Heidegger, and Thomas would recommend books for me to read and videos to watch. It's something I'll always be incredibly grateful for, because it opened me up to a whole world of thinking that I didn't know anything about, and something that I've ex been exploring ever since. So I would say that was an incident of one that I remember particularly powerfully, but I could mention so many others. I mean, over the years, on all kinds of topics, because this kind of inquiry that Thomas had so naturally was not particularly related to any particular topic. We could be speaking about anything, but it was just the quality of insight and exploration that Thomas brought to these questions that made a deep impact on me as a person.
Thank you.
I join my voice here and also express my gratitude to be part of this conversation, and how honored I am to be with you, Steve and Mary, obviously, for all the experiences that you have, and the life and the walks that you have with Thomas is much more depth maybe than mine in terms of time. Thank you, Mike, for putting this together. And I've met Thomas also somehow in the context of Andrew's Cohen community, but I met him at the last retreat that Andrew Cohen participated when he announced, I believe, that he was taking a sabbatical year and just kind of implode his community, and there was this whole thing going on. The funny thing is, I came in from a very different angle. I didn't know anything about Andrew Cohen, pretty much, and anything about what was going on internally. And a friend of mine invited me and pushed me to go to this retreat in Italy. And as you know, maybe for the public, it was a 10-day retreat, 5 days in silent meditation. And 5 days is a combination of dialogue, conversation, meditation, and encounters with the people. And the first thing that stuck and stayed with me and will always stay with me is how Thomas showed up for the meditation. And there was this sort of a platform. And we were just in this big room, and there's a platform where the teachers and the presenters were, going in front of the public. And those meditations were led by different people. And Thomas one day came to lead the meditation. And the way he just sat or just fell on his knees was so radical. The way he gave himself to the meditation and the strength and power of letting go just in the action of falling on his knees was so inspirational that he told me who he was somehow, just in that gesture. And it's something that I remember and keep dear into my heart because it also symbolizes so much who he was and who he is and how he lives in my memory. With someone who just really gave it all for evolution, gave it all for, inspiring people to be in something together. And then during that retreat, when I look back, I feel that somehow the universe brought us together because I end up being in the dialogue group with him. And we end up being the group that really broke through in the retreat in the collective consciousness emergence dialogue exercise. And he and I had this incredible understanding and cohesion of words, and that really opened a depth in our relationship right away when we went in this process together and a recognition. And from there, an adventure 15 years started, and it really allowed us to be open in a very powerful way, and me obviously being totally pulled into this work of the collective, but also him having that humility and capacity to be curious about indigenous medicine and this legacy of the wisdom of the First Nations, and the people that somehow haven't individualized themselves, but their identity is very much rooted in their collective identity, and that's how they identify themselves. And so, I'm so grateful that he showed up in my life, in our lives, and the walks that I had with them and with Elizabeth, and how I'm looking and searching to be in the continuation of this work myself.
Yeah, thank you. And I find it also striking what you were bringing in, Francois, and also you, Stephen, Mary. How to me that also is so much the being of Thomas to be to have this firm rootedness in spirit and in spiritual practice, like you described on this meditation. And I've been on retreat with Thomas many times, and in the last days also when we were with him together, I had this image sometimes how Thomas sitting next to me in this way, how he's sitting, right? This complete presence and surrender, and at the same time having that groundedness, but also the openness to be curious. Like for instance, if I also with part of that inquiry at certain points that Thomas did with you, Francois, but also amongst us, it's a core group that were together with Thomas to speak. Oh, what can we learn from that? And I think also the travels with you, Mary, Stephen, Mary, to India was also looking. What can we learn from that people? So there was always this complete curiosity. And at the same time, a deep rootedness in what Thomas had discovered himself. And I also met Thomas in the context of Andrew Cohen's community. And we were together when we started the center of that work in Germany, in Frankfurt. And I think that moment that you described, Francois, when that Andrew community faded or went in different directions, then we started our work in Frankfurt, which was a lot about this experience that you described in this dialogue group, to see that there is something that can emerge between people, that there can be a higher intelligence, a sacredness, and aliveness that is really something particular and new and somehow revolutionary, that this can be there. And I felt all these years since then, also with our magazine and emergent dialogue work, how Thomas and Elizabeth came to name this, or lately this interbeing, it all points to that possibility that between human beings there can be something sacred present. But what that means, I also for Thomas was a constant inquiry. And for me, one decisive experience I had, the many meetings where we had, like a core group of this work, and then we were met and we would meet, and Thomas would always or often ask, what are we actually doing? So to always start anew and look at and not assume anything, oh, we have this or this is this, and to always come back, what is it actually, what is this all about? And I value that so much in Thomas to also challenge oneself again and again, what do we mean, even when we use words like, the sacred or what can emerge, like what does it even mean? And I remember that, or will always hold that in my heart as a very particular presence.
No, that's beautiful, Mike, and also Francois. So I feel it with Thomas that that's what that's you reminded me, Mike, of his he had such a strength, it was his core was rooted in a spiritual, in spiritual depth, and it flowed through him, but in ever new ways. And that's why, Francois, I too appreciated that that Thomas was able to pursue and inquire all these different avenues. He, as you said, Mike, we spent time quite a few times in India, and Thomas was always really engaged with the kind of philosophical, but also the living spiritual Dharma of India, and how that worked and how it related to or didn't to emergent dialogue and the engagement there. So, but I wanted to go back to something because I feel like Thomas's life, I met him when that community had actually moved into the collective was really our practice. So that was, and so he Thomas was sort of born into that and embraced that and evolved it and has continued to with Elizabeth and also now with you, Mike, with the core group. But I wanted to go back to just an element of Thomas that I think is that I always really appreciated, and it relates, Françoise, to that retreat, because that was a different retreat. And as you said, it was the context was the community after 27 years was literally imploding. It was a very big moment. And Thomas, what I appreciate about Thomas is his integrity, actually, because it was touch and go whether we could even do that retreat. Things were in quite a fragile state and quite a tumultuous state in America, where where it was based. And I remember feeling having several conversations with Thomas. We both felt that obviously Andrew was going to go on a sabbatical, step down, and everyone in America was reeling, but Europe knew very little about what was going on. And it was very apparent to both of us that people there had given their lives the way we had, to a lot of them had anyway, to the practice and to the whole Yeah, very committed to that particular path of inquiry and collective inquiry, but in a real way and with their lives. And so we felt it was really important that that last retreat happen so people could, there could be some closure or some temporary closure with Andrew and with Europe and et cetera. But nobody else wanted to do that. It was very risky because there was understandably a lot of emotion at the time and tumult, and it was risky. And I remember Thomas saying to me, "Mary, it's about 100, about 85% to 15 that this is going to work, right?" And I remember saying, "Well, Thomas, let's just focus on the 15." And I felt like, and Steve was there too. Actually, I have to say, Steve came from India to support us, but there was something about his, because it was a very unpopular thing to do, frankly, amongst our peers. And it was risky. There was a lot going on at the time, but I felt that, I don't know, I just met Thomas in a different level at that point. It was in a time of crisis, and I felt his commitment to the work, really, and to the people involved in the work. And after that, I think our friendship, if deepened even more, I wish you could say, I felt the soul connection then, So I just wanted to say that was an important moment in my relationship with Thomas that I will never forget, actually.
Oh gosh. One thing I wanted to talk about a little bit about is that just relating back to our time together in Andrew Cohen's community, that in that time there was an extraordinary quality of togetherness, in the collective. And after it broke up in 2013, the whole thing broke up. And one of the things that was really amazing about Thomas was that I felt that that brotherhood, never changed with him. In fact, it just got deeper. And it was something that he was, in a way, I felt he was always responding to the brotherhood that we had. And it was all, in a sense, it was the context for so many of our conversations, was the fact that we were on this journey together. And this inquiry, particularly in a spiritual context of what our lives were really about and how that could be developed, was something that was very much shared between us, and which I really deeply appreciated about Thomas. And there were so many different aspects to that that Thomas was always exploring, because I'll never forget this walk we had in the Austrian mountains with him, which was, because Thomas had this love of mountains, as you all know. And when he was in the mountains, and when you were walking in the mountains with Thomas, somehow his whole kind of love and appreciation of life really came to the fore. And I will always remember these amazing discussions and inquiries that we had during those walks. And also, Thomas had a fascinating life. He was brought up in Austria, and so a lot of his thinking was also, this kind of spiritual context was brought into his whole life experience. And there were many things about, Christianity, Catholicism, and so forth that we went into and discussed really deeply, in the context of our own spiritual journeys. And again, it was an incredibly rich discussions that we had, where we were really trying to understand things in a very deep way about his experience. This was particularly when we were walking in the mountains in Austria, his experience of growing up in that area, and the kinds of questions it had brought up for him, political, religious, spiritual, that we really explored in so much depth. So these were the kinds of engagements with Thomas that that were ongoing and went into so many different areas of life. But this brotherhood, particularly, I'll never forget the quality of that and how much it was the sort of at the heart of everything we shared together.
Yes, I cannot more agree with what you're saying, Stephen, to stay in that somehow in that direction. It's something that also I was thinking about talking here is inheritance as an Austrian man. And Austrian people have such a strong closeness to nature and also in their cosmovision, that really relationship with shamanism in a way. And because of my background and my inquiry with indigenous people, and having lived in Peru 15 years in the Amazon and in the Andes, where the Queros in particular, indigenous group, have this capacity to engage with mountain spirit and the way they understand mountains as a being, a living being. It brought something between Thomas and I, very special, where we got to explore and experience the Austrian mountains with also that angle and that aspect, that enriched a lot of things for him and for me and to be in that space together. And also, what struck me is the way he was carrying himself and with integrity, because also of the past and the history of Germany and Austria. And now he had this impeccable sense of responsibility for the past. And now he wanted to carry something forward in himself, in representation of something that really it was so inspiring for me, you know. And I also wanted to help him so much to let go some of that, which felt such a weight for him at the same time that he was carrying it with so much grace. And so we went in this conversation and tension, and we're always kind of like brothers, you know, trying to get in the bottom of things and negotiate something. But it was so awesome. You know, he was so much for me, a brother, but also somehow like a father figure too, because his culture and his capacity also to talk about history and consciousness in history, the comparison of religions, and how in certain religions that emergence of consciousness would arrive at that period in the earth, and how it evolved towards this, and how we were compare things, and where we are in our societal structure today in this highly individualized moment, and what does it mean, in particular in relation to the work I do with, you know, this indigenous medicine and this collective consciousness, or just the reality that there is life everywhere in nature, and how to weave this together in a context that makes sense, that is not just, you know, some sort of spiritual inaccessible idea, but can be rooted in a living reality, you know, in an embodied reality. And it's very special to be in that relationship and to have those many different aspects, you know, and to see that aspect of integrity in him, how much he was willing to put everything on the table.
Yeah, I share that sense of integrity, and also when you spoke about the mountains, this also our last trip to the mountains came to me. We did still in June, where Thomas was also quite already disabled by the brain tumor that he was suffering from, and could only walk a bit. But he wanted our core group really to be in the mountains with him, basically. And we went to Vilsmoos, this place in the Salzkammergut. This was very special for him, and visited some of the mountain places that that really meant a lot to him. And it was really, I felt it was really a kind of initiation somehow in what mountains mean to him as a spiritual presence, as somehow kind of holders of this integrity in a deep way, of the majestic nature of what life is and can be, and somehow being in that presence with him. And also this one particular moment where we were at the almshouse, and Thomas pointed us to go a certain path up a little bit, and a few of us went up there, and it felt like Thomas was wanted us to somehow move in that experience that meant so much to him, to be in the presence of the mountains, in particular also the Dachstein Mountains. And we also and also at that journey and before, we talked also a lot about that responsibility he felt also as growing up in Linz, the same place as Hitler did. And he somehow felt that this land that has so much beauty and so much spiritual power was also a place of so horrific events and human brutality. He really took that on in a very existential way as a question. What does that mean for us? And I didn't experience it as a guilt or something, but more really not shying away from this hard question and trying to find a response, and also not quite knowing what it is, but there's definitely also something we want to pursue. The idea of Thomas to have a gathering in Linz that will somehow open a dialogue space for that question. And I feel that is really part of his integrity to not shy away from these questions. And also what you said, Mary and Steve, about this last time, or the transition from Andrew Cohen's community also to our work we continued in Germany, which was also, I was also part of Andrew Cohen's community before, so it was also for me a big crisis point, and for all of us. And in that also Thomas had a integrity for me in that way that he stood for what he experienced to be deeply true in the midst of the turmoil and the midst of also a lot of mistakes and all of that. But there was an integrity, and he was not somehow that helped me a lot. He was not somehow forcing that or somehow making that as a statement or something, but more as something alive in our work. I mean, we had meetings at that times already every week and in different ways. We had cooperations with the anthroposophic people, with integral people. So a lot of dialogues were happening in different ways. And I felt what you pointed to, this what can emerge, what can happen in deeper togetherness, that was alive. And Thomas was always somehow taking that seriously with his integrity and saying, it is, I will not let that go. I will not just say it doesn't all matter or something. I will stand for that. And when you want to join me in that, let's do it. And if not, that's good too. I mean, there were also people that didn't feel that was the right thing, but I feel that, and his invitation to inquire that together, I feel that that is a big, a real gift for me, and it helped me and us, I think, also to somehow find our way out of that confusion and somehow also pain, but also sense there is something alive, and follow that and try to find out what it is, and then also find people who ask questions or help steer the way. Like meetings with you, Francois, or others, it's like, what can we learn? And I for me, that really helped me and I think all of us in that German context that we had built to find a way, also with the magazine and different things, was that integrity that Thomas had. That was also, you could really also, meet in that and have, challenging conversations and but it was always in a very, just a love for that possibility.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to just, in that direction, say how special it was for us, my wife and I, Kelly, how Thomas, and us, we start something together, something new that was very, and is still very much on the edge of experimenting evolution. And with a bridge, of indigenous wisdom, with this capacity of depth in conversation and inquiring. And how brave it is from him, and how, inspiring to support and be in that curiosity, that kind of genuine curiosity of like, well, let's see where this wants to go. Let's see what actually something might emerge as what I cannot see, but I have an intuitive sense that there is something that wants to happen. And the potentiality of that is very awesome, because a lot of people could be just established, in just their identity, who they are, what they've built already, and there's a certain conventionality of, keeping going in the same directions or weaving with the people you know. But the work that I do is somehow very radical, I guess, for Western European, everyday people, the alter state of consciousness or shamanism and plant consciousness, and somehow a returning to animism and energy work, and it could be very scary, or it could be very somehow strange, but there was something there that was very powerful in him to trust the circumstances of what is actually emerging. Why are we meeting in this moment, and what wants to happen? And we really start something here together on that side of the ocean here in New York, in the US. And we very much want to continue that. It's very awesome. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Terrific. Terrific.
No, well, there's a lot just come out about that. But I think it, for myself, it speaks to the, I think you were just saying that, Françoise, too, that Thomas was this incredible intellect, rigorous, he had this rigorous, but it was a spiritual intelligence, which is why I think he was so unbounded and why he could follow, just like you said. He had a sensitivity, a sensibility for what was authentic and deep, and it didn't have to fit into a particular framework, even though he developed, his you could say the kind of frame generally was the collective, and that's why I think he was drawn to indigenous wisdom, because it's so embodied, as you were saying, Françoise, and that. So I feel like with Thomas, that's something else that I really valued, and I've more valued it in India, and because again, it's did there's a lot of overlap with indigenous wisdom, but it's different. And just like the mountains too, there. My only regret is we never actually went to the mountain. We did actually once. We went to Missouri, yeah, and did some dialogues actually with some Indian friends of ours. But to really spend time walking in the mountains together, we never got to do that except for a short period. And I totally resonated with that the sort of spiritual grandeur that the mountains evoke, and that they embody, and that they res you know that resonates. I mean, in India, rivers, mountains, trees, ant hills, everything is sacred. And so it's got some resonance there. And again, I really appreciated that Thomas was so at home there, even though India is absolutely different than Europe and America in every way. But he felt at home. There was a natural kind of relaxation in the midst. India is very crazy and chaotic, but it's incredibly human. And you feel this connectedness too with humanity and with something deeper that sort of pervades the humanity in India. And Thomas was very much in that. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that that was something that I think is quite rare, because most people who have the kind of capacity, as you were saying, both of you, his understanding of history, his knowledge of history, his knowledge of philosophy was like, incredible, if not daunting at times. But it was he was not intellectual in a sense only. It was imbued with something else which allowed this extraordinary engagement and fluidity, capacity to engage with different paths while retaining a fidelity to the depth of where he stood himself.
Yeah, I think Thomas always really appreciated that Mary and I had this love for the East and Asia. And I remember he gave me this book on Heidegger and Asian thinking at one point because he was fascinated by this how these things connected, so he was so deeply grounded in Western philosophy and history. So I think for someone like that to have this, as others of you have said, to have at the same time this kind of, creative just fascination in how these things connected and how important it all is, that this is all integrated in some way. So I definitely felt that. The other thing I wanted to also mention is that I think one of the great things about Thomas was that he took this work that we did in Enlighten Next, and at its heart, a lot of it was really to do with changing culture, from a consciousness point of view, and so he really, I think one of his great gifts
Gifts.
is that he was able to take the work that we did at Enlighten Next, and a lot of it, for many people, kind of ended there. But he took, I think, that the heart of what we were working on over many years in Enlighten Next, and developed it in his own sort of really independent way. And I think that's been a tremendous
Gift.
gift. And also, it's produced a legacy of work, which is, now can be taken forward, with people like you, Mike, and many others of our friends that are taking this forward now, because I think Thomas really understood this way in which we needed to the relationship between consciousness and changing culture at a very deep level. And I think he understood that very deeply, and he basically developed it with the dialogue work. In an extraordinary way. I mean, it was incredibly creative and very independent in his own development of it. So I think, again, that question of integrity, and how he was, I think you touched on this also, Mike. I wasn't willing just to leave it, the work as was done, but to actually keep developing it and taking it forward. And I think that's one of Thomas's incredible achievements, that he did that, and he's done that, and he's left a whole legacy behind, related to that work.
Yeah, and I think it also relates to, I think my sense is also why he was doing that or was able to do that was exactly also that awareness of the cultural significance of that, because that's also part of Thomas, that he was a very political person. You know, he He studied philosophy and then moved into psychotherapy, but also was a very early on a very radical left-wing Marxist or
Yes.
Trotskyist or all these kind of things that were happening at that time. But I think at the heart there was always the sense that we need to change culture or the potential of that. And I felt he recognized that in this experiment of a different consciousness that is much more rooted in our togetherness and also in the sacred. And I think that was also something that I always feel, Thomas, so in that surrender to the sacred. And he was somehow in that very radical, where he felt the presence of the sacred, might it be in India or in the indigenous practice or wherever, he felt he wanted to come close and see what is it, what is shining up there. What is, and then also seeing that the sacred dimension is not just something to experience or have a spiritual life around, but that is actually something for the significance for our culture.
Yes.
And he, in the later years, he coined this emergent dialogue as a spiritual practice for the open society, as a that there can be a different way how we can be together as people in a not fragmented way that is based on the recognition that we all exist in a sacred context that is life, that is the universe, that is spirit. And I feel it gave me again and again also in our conversations in the Evolve magazine, which was a lot about that. What is, how can we respond to culture where it is at the moment? It was always this kind of leaning into that. And with a kind of intellectual rigor and inquiry, but also with the sacred as a heart opening to the sacred, and how can we find ways with that? And I feel Thomas, and Elizabeth and we together, we somehow also moved in that together, so that there is something of his intention to bring spirit, the sacred, alive between people, that this is there somehow. It's not
Definitely.
gone. It's there, and I feel also Thomas present in that. And also as a new, somehow as a new phase in our journey together. How this can be brought into experience, into conversation, and into life.
It's critically needed too. I think we're at a point where, the secular nature of modernity is, hit its point where I think what you're speaking about, Mike, is incredibly important, actually. The bringing of that spiritual knowledge, whether it's spiritual being, it's how can that be expressed in the world and start to bring ourselves and our world into alignment again, from the sort of incredibly fragmented place it is right now. So I think this work is it's never been more critical. And I love Francoise, the connection that Thomas made with you and that you continue with these guys between, indigenous wisdom and knowledge and spirit and life as we know it, right? I think that's those kind of barriers being like seriously brought down, not just people going off and doing, you know, having an experience, but really bringing it to life amongst ourselves in ways that make that have really potential to to bring change to where it's needed.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel very much in the legacy of Thomas, and so an inspiration. And it's really, this work is at the cornerstone of what we do here. And we're such in a moment of cross-cultural experiences. And more people move from one tradition to another tradition, to one context to the other context. And the beauty and the power of this collective consciousness dialogue work is the unification beyond of all those different contexts in a new way of related to it all. But from this fusion, and but w without changing anything, but it's just really, it all becomes one, and it really feels this is where we're going. At least me personally, I'm fundamentally certain that I have the fundamental belief that this is where we're going. And it's shaping itself somehow. And one of the points that I also very much admire and respect of Thomas is his capacity of flexibility. Flexibility in bringing things that are very in opposition with a curious inquiry, knowing that somehow conflict in their differences brings a process of creativity that is necessary for the new ideas to be brought forth. But to bring that conflict or tension, let's say, more than conflict, and that tension somehow create the birth of new ideas or new energies in the conversation that can bring the parts that are in the conversation in a new reality of conversation. And that is so powerful because it demands a lot of humility and capacity, to foreseen. And so I'm very grateful for his life, very grateful for the time with him, and how much patience and dedication to help people like us grow and root into something, and like we say, inshallah, let's see what wants to emerge out of this in our friendship now, in those conversations that now we are in together,
Great, beautiful.
Yeah, and I feel
Beautiful.
also in these conversations, Thomas' spirit is alive. I mean, that's what I also felt in this last years, maybe also to mention that part of what made a very deep impression on me also how Thomas took on that challenge of that of his illness and also what came with that, how this all the qualities we are mentioning, we are speaking to became so present in that, this kind of integrity and I think also a deep vulnerability and trust in life. Like he sometimes said, then a kind of trust that is deeper than that things, will be fine or something like that. But a deep trust. And I feel that also in the last weeks and days, also being with him in Frankfurt and Mary and Steve, you were there, also Francois. I think that was also somehow, how you say, not a legacy, but it was a, I felt also it was a validation, or I don't know what the right word is, but of the spirit of Thomas to be together with him, sensing his transition and also the dignity that he held in that and this deep trust. And yeah, and I feel that was also already part of that somehow how his presence is in the world is is went through a transformation and is somehow, how you say, finding new ways, finding new conversations, like you said, Francois. And I feel also in the pain of that, of the loss, I feel that also gives me a lot of strength and just sensing, okay, there's something alive that we can live in and live with and unfold further together.
No, thanks for saying that, Mike. I just want to say that I felt the way Thomas passed, and as you said, the last few months, the last 2 years actually, because I was very struck that Thomas, the surrender he had, and at the same time, he gave everything continually till literally his body wouldn't let him. But even then, in his as you were saying, I felt the grace and vulnerability. Actually, he was very vulnerable, and in that, yeah, there was a beauty and a sort of an integrity to who he is and was, and that was very moving, I have to say. Well, I'll miss him as a friend, definitely. But as you both have said, all of us, that it's very interesting because who Thomas is, we all connected with that. That resonated with us, who we are, and that is going to continue. And that's the nature of Thomas's work anyway. So I'm very grateful, really, for this opportunity, Mike, and to share these things, and to, I think we'll continue to do that, actually.
Yeah,
It's
definitely.
not a one-off situation, but yeah, Thomas really had a huge, left a very big imprint on all of us, I think, and many thousands of others, which I feel
Absolutely.
very, very grateful for.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally. And we're also very grateful for this conversation and to be in this together. And in the name of Thomas and in the name of the work that also warms our hearts and that we can see is important. And in this time we're in, you know. And so I look forward for more conversations also.
Yes,
Yeah.
indeed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Me too. And
Me too, yeah.
thank you all for doing that. And I feel, yeah, somehow I feel in these kind of conversations, Thomas is present, that that's what he was living for. Thank you all, and thank you everyone for listening, for watching. And yeah, we will continue the conversation. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Mike.
Thank you, Mike, Francois.
Thank you, Francois.
Good
Thank
Steve.
you.
Good Mary. Good to see you.
Good to see
Good
you
to see
too.
you.
Yeah. See you. Bye.